Welcome to the Association for Talent Development's podcast series. For more information about ATD, please visit our website at www.td.org. This is a feature article on page 56 of the December 2018 issue of TD Magazine, Relearning for Value-Based Care by Gabriella Amantuna and Patty Gall. The new healthcare reimbursement model is both a challenge and opportunity. Change abounds in healthcare at a seemingly faster pace each passing day. Among the changes is the aftermath of healthcare reform legislation passage in the United States, which was intended in part to lead to improved quality and affordability of care. To meet these intended outcomes, healthcare facilities are increasingly using a new payment model for healthcare services, value-based care reimbursement, also known as value-based purchasing. The model replaces fee-for-service care that reimburses healthcare providers for services rendered regardless of outcomes and patient experience. Specifically, VBC is an evidence-based, patient-centered, customer-focused, process-oriented, and data-driven payment model designed to reimburse only positive results and avoid unnecessary procedures and interventions. VBC is now mandatory for reimbursements for all healthcare organizations doing business with the U.S. government, such as through Medicaid and Medicare contracts, and insurance providers increasingly require VBC due to efficiency associated with cost-effectiveness, performance safety, and healthcare outcomes in the long term with the payment model. Jeff Miklos and Caitlin Sweeney write in Economic Investment in the Journey to Healthcare Value, Part 1, Healthcare Providers, that to operate in a value-based environment, providers must be able to measure their own performance more accurately than most now can. As organizations upskill their workforces to manage the new requirements around VBC, this is where the talent development team gets involved. Why VBC now? The change in the U.S. healthcare payment method seems much needed and long overdue, given that the country spends more than $10,000 per capita on health expenses per year, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Despite high healthcare costs, the U.S. healthcare profession's performance is not world-class. For instance, the maternal mortality rate for the United States is 136th in the world, according to Central Intelligence Agency figures, with nations such as Belarus, Kuwait, and Malta faring far better. Further, medical errors are the third leading cause of death within the U.S. healthcare industry. In addition to the need and expectation for increased patient safety and results, today's technology is laying the groundwork for VBC. Consumers and healthcare organizations have many ways to tap technology. For example, Eric Topol, director of Scripps Translational Science Institute, predicts that remote monitoring will replace 50 to 70% of office visits, a trend possible with the use of digital health records, mobile healthcare apps, and virtual house calls. Healthcare consumers will be able to take care of much of their lab work and image testing using devices that communicate with their smartphones. Patients then would have diagnoses and treatments recommended to them via their mobile devices. While some of these practices are currently taking place, doctors are not reimbursed for these services using the fee-for-service payment model. Under the VBC payment model, however, this is predicted to change, encouraging physicians and other practitioners to make a move. As well as reducing healthcare costs, technology can play a part in helping medical personnel make better decisions for patients. Electronic health records provide the necessary information to enable healthcare providers to measure their current performance and track patients in a way that was impossible in the past. Out of good business sense and practical need, all payers and providers are looking to maximize the use of technology to identify where healthcare costs originate so they can reduce them. Moving into a VBC world, health systems are usually organized, managed, and budgeted as departments and units within hospitals. This works against them when they strive to minimize costs due to duplication of services and procedures and improve their population's health. To adopt and be successful under a VBC model, healthcare providers will need to break down these silos. Such a system requires clinicians, financial professionals, and administration and operations staff to collaborate. Clinical. Under VBC, clinical efficiency is essential. To determine efficiencies, extensive research is in order. Do your organization's products or services have a clinical benefit? Determining this is a collaborative process that includes physicians and nurses, as well as others such as specialists in infection prevention and employee health, working together to ask critical questions to thoroughly vet a product, such as a hospital bed or prosthetic body part, the facility has or is considering purchasing. Each professional in the healthcare sphere comes to the table with a unique perspective about a product or service and how it will affect the patients it serves and the clinicians who will use it. Financial. Identifying the price of a healthcare product is no longer sufficient. VBC requires a broader assessment of a product's or service's financial impact. First, a healthcare provider must perform a comparative analysis of the existing product, taking care to ensure that the correct per-unit cost is reflected. Determining the total cost should include identifying and cost-calculating additional measures, additional materials or products that work in conjunction with the existing or proposed product, along with service agreements and warranties and their effect on reimbursement. Thus, VBC goes above and beyond traditional data analytics and addresses the impact products and services have on reimbursement. It requires the financial department's expertise to validate reimbursement and coding information the seller provides and the effect it could have on existing managed care contracts and Medicare payments. Operational. Under VBC, healthcare professionals need to be aware of the product or service's impact on its daily operations. For example, does a proposed product increase the clinician's workloads? If administrators or operational staff are interested in moving to another less expensive product, what is the ramp-up time in terms of training? What happens if practitioners refuse because they have used a product for years and are comfortable with it? These are considerations to address at the onset of the VBC program. Rating system. To be successful under the VBC model, healthcare systems must understand the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services' four quality domains and their associated measures. The domains are clinical care, patient and caregiver-centered experience of care coordination, efficiency and cost reduction, and safety. Under VBC reimbursement, healthcare systems are rated on each of these four domains. If any one or more of them is rated poorly, reimbursement to the healthcare system will decrease. For example, if a care organization has several patient falls, its safety rating will go down, meaning it will incur a penalty under VBC. As a healthcare system undertakes its VBC contracts, staff need to understand each of these quality ratings and how to efficiently and effectively manage the product or services provided under VBC. This includes understanding such things as overhead and related costs, because VBC uses activity-based costing, which calculates all the fees associated with a product or service. To bring various professionals together and instruct on new quality of care and cost parameters, talent development professionals have a significant challenge ahead. They will need to develop programs and organizational changes that apply blended learning, interprofessional education, new leadership skills, negotiation, mediation, coaching, data comprehension, patient safety, and clinical research, among others. Steps to come together. Before moving into the VBC world, a healthcare organization must determine where it has cost and quality-based opportunities to achieve value for patients. The breaking down of professional silos begins in this assessment phase. A committee comprising C-suite members in administration, practitioners, operations, and talent development staff should decide in which areas the organization should pursue VBC contracts and services. The group identifies a patient population and opportunity for a VBC contract based on expertise, the community it serves, average care costs, and so forth. Once the committee decides which VBC contracts to pursue, it designs the care model. Because VBC contracts reimburse for lower care costs, a facility with expertise and experience in orthopedics, such as hip replacement, for example, may pursue VBC contracts in that area. On the flip side, if a facility has an at-risk population for its obstetrics patients, the facility may opt to remain in the fee-for-service model if possible, at least until it can rein in costs. A talent development team can help facilitate these conversations and partnerships, quantify the impact of changes and implementations of protocols, and work with others to continuously improve organizational processes to reduce costs and improve patient care. Each service line, for example, obstetrics and gynecology, orthopedics, gastroenterology, and a health system will use the same data-driven, activity-based methodology to understand the true cost of care. Undertaking a VBC model extends beyond the bounds of the healthcare system. The system should be working with other stakeholders, including insurance companies and payers, to calculate what value means to the patient population. Developing a VBC training program. Organizations investing in a fully functional, autonomous, and empowered VBC training program will find that it ends up being self-funded with a significant return on investment. In Personas of Leadership and Value-Based Care, Robert Pothurst writes, "Value-based care requires health organizations to rethink the ways in which they organize people, processes, and technologies across different disciplines, functions, and settings to deliver high-quality, high-value healthcare services." Many of these aspects will rest on the talent development team's shoulders to bring people together in a new way, to learn new ways of doing things, and to become familiar with the technologies that provide greater insights into patients, value, and costs. Miklos and Sweeney write that the demand for practitioners and professionals with expertise in strategy, data analytics, and care coordination will outpace, and in some instances replace, revenue cycle management roles typically held by individuals with traditional clinical and/or administrative backgrounds. These new skills will require either upskilling or bringing on new talent. We've already talked a great deal about the need for partnerships, so a significant aspect of VBC training must be that of interpersonal education, often in the way of role-playing. For example, a finance person who will practice detailing cost breakdown in the business angle around a specific type of care, while a nurse practitioner may relay patient care specifics back to the finance person for that same type of care. A talent development practitioner will facilitate this role, helping each professional understand the perspective of the other with the common goal of meeting the VBC requirements of patient care and cost. Administering and planning the overall healthcare delivery for a patient population requires effective technology solutions to efficiently collect and analyze patient data, another opportunity for talent development professionals. Additional learning solutions include compliance training to meet VBC quality domains, including safety protocols. For example, a new checklist may be instituted at the patient bedside to ensure improved care, and microlearning to remind operations personnel about ways to improve staffing levels and workflows to lower costs. Leadership training is a key component. For employees to buy into changes required under VBC, leaders need to walk the talk to promote the importance of abiding by the model. Pothurst describes how Kaiser Permanente and Care More Health leaders take on the role of value evangelists by helping their organizations and employees embrace the expansive change occurring under the new payment and care system. Further, leaders must showcase through their own behavior the importance of collaboration and practicing the safety and compliance issues related specifically to VBC. Leaders must be at the forefront of developing a culture that values the patient safety and care around VBC. To ensure that this happens, the talent development function can help facilitate coaching, lead emotional intelligence efforts such as writing in a journal or role-playing, and encourage reflection by the healthcare leaders in all the disciplines in the organization. Move to the future. Adopting a VBC model, as with most other changes, requires extensive training, beginning with a value analysis to decide which products or services to pursue. But it's an investment well worth the effort. According to Premier's Value Analysis Guide, healthcare institutions that make the investment in training their value teams, the individuals involved in the VBC model, are receiving a minimum of 100-to-1 return on investment for their efforts. The proceeding has been excerpted from TD Magazine, a monthly publication of the Association for Talent Development. For more information, visit our website at www.td.org. TD's editor-in-chief is Vanessa St. Gerard. TD's managing editor is Joy Metcalf. Music by Incompetech.com. And I'm your host, Joy Metcalf.